The bail was arranged quickly and Jacob was released to us. Together, we left the courthouse through a gauntlet of reporters that seemed to have grown since we arrived. Grown more aggressive, too. Out on Thorndike Street, they tried to stop us by standing in our path. Somebody, it may have been a reporter, though no one saw him, pushed Jacob in the chest, knocking him back a few steps, trying to elicit a response. Jacob gave none. His blank face never wavered. Even the more polite ones had a slippery tactic to get us to stop and talk. They asked, "Can you just tell us what happened in there?" As if they did not know, as if the whole thing had not been broadcast to them via the live video feed and text messages from their colleagues. By the time we rounded the corner and drove up to our home, we were exhausted. Lori in particular looked wrung out. Her hair was beginning to craze in the humidity. Her face looked drawn. Since the catastrophe, she had been losing weight steadily and her lovely heart-shaped face was becoming gaunt. As I began to turn the car into the driveway, Lori gasped, "Oh my God," and clapped her hand over her mouth. There was graffiti on the front of our house, drawn with a thick black marker. "Murderer, we hate you. Rot in hell." The letters were big, blocky, and neat, written in no particular haste. Our house was faced with tan shingles, and the edges of these shingles caused the pen to skip as it crossed from one to the next. Otherwise, it had been done carefully, in broad daylight, while we were gone. The graffiti had not been there when we left that morning, I'm sure of that. I looked up and down the street. The sidewalks were empty. Down the block, a gardening crew had parked a truck, and their mowers and leaf blowers buzzed loudly. No sign of neighbors. No people at all. Just neat green lawns, rhododendrons blooming pink and purple, a cordon of big old maples running the length of the block, shading the street. Lori jumped out and ran into the house, leaving Jacob and me to stare at the graffiti. "Don't let them get to you, Jake. They're just trying to scare you." "I know. This is just one idiot. That's all it takes, is one idiot. It's not everyone. It's not how people feel." "Yes, it is." "Not everyone." "Of course it is. It's okay, Dad. I don't really care." I twisted to look at him in the back seat. "Really? This doesn't bother you?" "No." He sat with his arms crossed, eyes narrow, lips tight. "If it did, you'd tell me, right?" "I guess. Because it's okay to feel hurt. You know that." He frowned disdainfully and shook his head, like an emperor declining to grant an indulgence. "They can't hurt me." "So tell me, what are you feeling inside, Jake, right now, this minute?" "Nothing." "Nothing? That's not possible."